They will indeed, Miles, and it's been a tremendous season for them, you know, in the sense that, you know, this was only their second year in the Rugby Championship one, and they won it, albeit by a very narrow margin, because, I mean, teams like Instonians and Ballyclare took it to the wire, and they only got through by a point, but that was enough to win them a championship and put them into the round robin. In the first game against Malahide, who won the actual round robin, I mean, I was at that game, and I mean, when they got two sort of breakaway tries, and they take quite a lead, but then Oma came back, and in fact, they would have had a losing bonus point had they not missed the final conversion. But they showed signs against Malahide of how good they were. Malahide then, of course, won the following match, and that meant that they were through. But then Oma went to Ballina and won that game. Never an easy game against a team that had been there all the time. And then, of course, last week, Clonmel came up. They were very much favourites beforehand, coached by Dennis Leamy, and they dispatched them pretty well. And as you said yesterday, they went down to Boyne, who have been six seasons in the All-Ireland League, and you know, they've had a lot of experience. Half-time, it was very close. It was 7-6 to Oma. That was a try by winger Neil Brown, converted by the right half Lee Murphy. Boyne then took the lead with their third penalty, but then from about 25 minutes, 15 minutes into the second half, the last 25 minutes, the Mellon Park team really took over. And I mean, a tremendous, when you think about it, they scored 22 unanswered points, including three tries. So they actually outscored the Boyne team yesterday by 4-0. And that takes some doing, you know, for a team that's not in the All-Ireland League compared to themselves. young Scott Elliott, who was brought on because Ali Beckett wasn't available at full-back, he started with a try and he converted that himself. Then wing forward Adam Longwell added a third one, and then Elliott completed what was a fantastic day for him with a second try and the fourth try. And that then made it 29-9, and you know, that was them through. Almost 20 years since they last played in the All-Ireland League, and you know, it'll be an interesting next season, Miles, because also have to mention that Rennie won their game against Tullamore in the playoff at Hattrick Park. They won 35-23. So that takes them up now into Division 2B. Where they'll be playing along with City of Derry. So if you think about it, within a radius now of 30 miles, we have got three All-Ireland senior clubs. And that's something that, you know, wouldn't have been thought about 5 or 6 years ago.
Alec, is there a problem there with that number of teams in a small area trying to get players to compete at a national level?
I think, Miles, there's, you know, the clubs themselves, you know, both Rennie have been a senior club for quite a while, and they were in the same league as Derry, and then they lost out, but then they have got themselves right up. But Derry, as we know, got that losing bonus point at Skerries to stay in Division 2B. But from Oma's point of view, they are very well in a good position, Miles. They put out four teams every Saturday. Their seconds won the league as well. Their thirds have won their league. So, you know, they have a lot of depth. And I think it's been proven yesterday whenever that young fullback came on and had no difficulty scoring two tries. And, you know, they have had a lot of their second 15 playing quite a lot of rugby from the first this year. They will certainly, from within the club, they have a very good youth system. Rennie as well, of course, have a very good youth system. Both teams, of course, are pretty useful feeder schools in a sense. There's Oma Academy and there's Rennie Endowed for those two clubs. And I mean, City of Derry obviously are a club as well who are going to have to get a lot more players in. Derry were struggling this year to get a third 15 out. That's something that has to be addressed and addressed very quickly. They have a very good youth system, but unfortunately sometimes a lot of the youth who get the 18 or 19 head off the university, and that's what it is. But no, I think it's great in a sense, because certainly from my point of view, Miles, and I suppose I'm being a wee bit selfish here, it's nice to think that you have three senior clubs to go and see within a range of 30 miles. And from a spectator's point of view, and from somebody who likes a game of rugby, and you know, a City of Derry supporter, if Derry are playing away, has a choice now to go to either Maharafelt or to Oma and to see another All-Ireland League game. And I think that's good, not only for the game, but I think it's good for the club as well.
Yeah, probably is overall. Yeah, what happened yesterday? Ulster Premier League Division 1 playoff, City of Derry meant to be playing Dungannon.
Yeah, well, that's a strange one, Miles. I mean, I knew that fixture was on for quite a while, but I really was a bit sceptical about it, isn't it? I never thought it would be played. From Derry's point of view, they were going to play the game. Now, they may not have been able to put out a decent side, but the thing about it is that Dungannon, I'm very, very disappointed in Dungannon, and how are the mighty fallen to the extent the team that won the All-Ireland League 15 years ago? What happens, Miles, is that they said they had no front row. Maybe it's a genuine thing, but by conceding the game, they then were forfeited the points, and Derry were given the points, which meant Dungannon dropped into the second division of that senior league, which is a lot easier than the one that Derry's left in, because you've Ballinahinch, you've Banbridge, you know, you've Queens and Malone, and I think, to be honest with you, they're quite happy to be playing in Division 2. Not the best way to end the season from Derry's point of view, but you know, they, at least next year when it comes to Ulster League games, they will have competition that's going to run them very, very strongly. But that was the reason for that, Miles, you know. But it's unfortunate that Dungannon didn't put a team on, just because you like to see promotion and relegation on the pitch and not off it.
Regional rugby here, Donegal, meant to be playing Letterkenny. Any result from that?
Get a result for that, mate. There was nothing on the Ulster side. Maybe that game again at this stage of the season sometimes. If it's of no great significance, maybe both teams were happy enough that's just to call it off, you know. But I couldn't get any result on that one, mate.
Okay. Let's go to the Pro 12 just very briefly. I suppose it's all set up now for Munster and Leinster to be involved in the final game. But disappointment for Ulster yesterday. Ospreys just beating them 24-10. Ulster just couldn't score.
It's more than disappointment. I think this has been an ongoing saga. You know, there was that talk that they won the six games on the trot, but I mean, if you looked at the opposition who they were playing, you have to realise that. For me, the draw against Cardiff was a key one. I mean, that was a game that they could have won. I mean, they had three tries scored, and they failed to put Cardiff away. The game against Munster, I think most people looking at it would have said that Ulster had the chances to put Munster away, and they didn't do it. They conceded the line-out to Munster 5 metres from the line, and they were made to pay. Munster won that narrowly, 22-20. You know, even the game at the Kingspan before Christmas, whenever they were 14-0 up against Munster, and a drop goal beat them, and that one. And there's been so many games they got where you could point the finger. But to be honest, I mean, I know there's a new coaching staff coming in next year. Alan Clark and Neil Doak are leaving. Clark, ironically, is going to coach the Ospreys forwards, and I'm sure he was quite happy what he saw yesterday. Les Kiss, I mean, I've been a big Kiss fan for a while, mates, but I get fed up listening to Kiss coming out with the same old garbage every week. It's all about, well, we had opportunities and we made mistakes and all the rest of it. As far as I was concerned yesterday, there's no excuse for bad tackling, and that has been going on for quite a while. There didn't seem to be any shape to the team yesterday, and at the end of the day, you know, Kiss has to bite the bullet on that one, and I sometimes think that he's a bit complacent about it. I don't know how long his contract runs for, but I would have thought that there must have been certain people at Kingspan at the moment thinking, you know, maybe we have got to make a change quickly. They're bringing in the John O'Gibbs and the new backs coach. Maybe there's a time for change. But certainly, it's very, very sad that probably the game of the season next Saturday against Leinster is a no game, because I would think that Leinster will probably put out a reasonably weak side. There's no reason why they should put out a strong team, because they're already through with a home advantage in the playoffs. And from Ulster's point of view, it doesn't matter if they run on 25 tries, it's no good to them. There's no way now that they can get up there, because even if they get 5 points from that game, they're differential to either the other two teams, or the Ospreys or the Scarlets. So really the game next week is the Ospreys play the Scarlets to see who goes to Munster and who goes to Leinster. But from Ulster's point of view, I'll be very interested to see how many people turn up next Saturday. Maybe a lot of people will turn up and vent their feelings, because they've been so well supported at Kingspan for a long, long time. Friday after Friday, rain or snow, they've been there. They're one of the best supported sides in that Pro 12, and it's time the players took responsibility, because at the end of the day, yesterday, some of the mistakes made yesterday you wouldn't see in schoolboy rugby.